and welcome to the Eye on the U podcast, Miami Herald's Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson. I'm joined, as always, on the other line by Susan Miller-Degnan, our Hurricanes beat writer here at the Herald. Susan, what's going on?
I'm just put in my advance for the penultimate, I know you like that word.
Great word.
Regular season game for Miami at Clemson.
Yep. Yeah, we're down to the stretch run here. Miami heads up to Clemson this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about the preview. We'll do a little preview talk for that. Probably not that much. We want to focus more on some, I guess, kind of big picture-y kind of stuff. Obviously, Miami 5-5 has two shots here to make a bowl game. They close out the season at home against Pittsburgh. And I think most notably is Miami's probably coming off maybe it's best all-around performance of the year.
Blowing
out Georgia Tech, 35-14. Yellow Jackets got a garbage time touchdown in that one, too. Of course, three interceptions for Cameron Kinchins was one of the big stories, including a pick six tying a Miami record. Now leads the nation in interceptions. But the bigger story, I think, it's been a little bit of a storyline the last couple of weeks, but I would say crested on Saturday is the play of the freshman. And it starts with Jakari Brown, the true freshman, especially, but freshman just in general. It starts with Jakari Brown, who made his first career start on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I think considering what we know about Jakari, what kind of player he is, what level of recruit he was, all that kind of stuff, I don't think it could have gone much better. He throws for three touchdowns, not a whole ton of passing yards, but efficient, smart as a passer, no mistakes, throws for three touchdowns, makes a couple of good throws. And like I said, just kind of efficient in the red zone, running the offense. And then also, they got kind of like the power running game, which you expected from a guy like Jakari Brown, 19 carries for him, pushes up close to 100 yards, but I think it was in the 80s. A really, really encouraging performance, I think, that makes you feel like, the jury obviously is still, it's one game. I don't think we can say that Jakari Brown is the future of Miami football just based off one game against a Georgia Tech team with an interim coach. It's probably not going to make a bowl game, but Jakari is as advertised, I think, is the big takeaway, I think, from that game. You see all the potential he has, and he's not a project either. He's a good college football player already.
He really is. He's and what a pleasure. Big, strong body, and he's fast, right, David? Yeah. I mean, he can take off.
He's shifty, too. Someone was like, he's sneaky shifty. You don't expect a guy that big to be able to, like, slip tackles like he does, but he cuts pretty well. Yeah.
He cuts great, and the worrisome thing for me and for Miami fans is, he's not afraid to get stuck in traffic and just to bowl his way out of it. And, he gets hit a lot. I think keeping him healthy is going to be really important. But I don't know how you do that with a quarterback like that. He was very impressive. I think the one question mark about him was his arm. Mm-hmm. And he does
have arm strength. He has a really strong arm.
He said, I have a rocket for an arm. I have a rocket. You guys know I have a rocket. Yeah, but that's okay. But, he's got to hit the timing with his receivers. And, but I mean, again, he's a true freshman, right? And that was his first start. So I think now, like what you said, you can tell this kid's a really good athlete, but you can't tell with one game. Is he going to keep it up passing and even improve more? He was nervous and he was real hyped up. I think another great point about Jakari is he's just, his personality is really strong and infectious and leadership.
Yeah, one of the big talking points from players and coaches coming out of the game was like, he energized us, right? In a way that
definitely.
I think people obviously really like Jake Garcia. Obviously, Tyler Van Dyke is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And, but it's anytime you get a freshman like that in, a guy who runs that physic. Like, it's hard not to get excited when you see a guy kind of sacrifices his body on every single play.
He does. And he wants to.
Right, he wants to.
And he's excited. Like, it is contagious. You could tell he excites the other guys. He's, you know, and I don't know how much of that is true freshman, a true freshman and being pumped up and stuff, but.
And you can see the underclassmen are excited about, you know, like, obviously they all like Tyler Van Dyke, but like.
Of course.
You know, they know that Tyler Van Dyke might not be here next year. I mean, I have no idea one way or the other.
Right.
But, you know, that guy was thought of as a potential early round draft pick before all these injuries. So, like, I think there has to be an excitement from the young guys knowing that we might be riding with this guy for the next couple of years here. And then, again, you know, I don't think we're ruling out the possibility that Jake Garcia in an offseason could win a quarterback competition, or, you know, a transfer, or again, Tyler Van Dyke could come back next year. But I mean, you got a glimpse of the future, and obviously I think it's exciting for those freshmen, but it's also exciting for a guy like Cam Kinchins, who had 3 picks, who's going to be on this team next year, James Williams, exactly. Leonard Taylor, most of their most exciting players right now, especially with Tyler Van Dyke and Zion Nelson hurt, are underclassmen who are going to be back on this team next season.
Yeah. It's fun. This kind of is a fun part of the year, actually. You know, when coaches just say, okay, I'm playing the young guys now, no matter what, I'm playing the young guys. And Miami has some really good young guys, you know, somehow when the quarterback is a really young guy, it's, like I said, it's exciting and refreshing. And I think it's also really fun for the fans. You know, it gives them something to turn on the TV.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I can't remember if I said this on the episode last week, but Jordan McPherson, who covers the Marlins for I, were talking the other day about how it's like, you know, when these Marlins seasons get bad, and it's not, this Miami season is not quite as bad as some of the worst Marlins seasons, but you get excited about the prospects who come up, right? You're excited about JJ Bleday hitting home runs and stuff like that. And it's sad that this Miami season is in that place, considering they were the preseason favorites in the Coastal, but it's a good way to stay interested in this season. And the other thing about Jakari, I think, like, he fits what Josh Gattis wants to do, which is run the ball. And they had a really, really good game. And obviously part of it is him running the ball, Jakari running the ball himself, which is just, you know, they don't have those plays in the playbook when it's Tyler or Jake at quarterback. But I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that Jalen Knighton's best game came with Jakari Brown at quarterback. You know, it when you have a quarterback like that, it becomes easier to run the ball. And I thought they just had a really, really good game plan, right? I mean, the first drive, they ran it, and then leak out Will Mallory, and it's a really easy touchdown throw for Jakari Brown's first career touchdown pass. The second touchdown, at least, was that, you know, short yardage design play for Jahleel Skinner. Like, they did a really good job, I think, keeping it simple. 2 of his 3 touchdowns were pretty, like, just throw it to the open guy. But obviously he deserves credit for that too, because his legs are opening up those easy throws.
Yes, he can. He really can scramble. Yeah. I mean, hey, which is, again, it's really fun. It gives you many more options.
Yeah.
That way for the offense. So, yeah, that was a really invigorating game, and a game in which Miami, well, we weren't sure they were always in control, but at a certain point when they broke it open, it was pretty refreshing that, you know.
Yeah, they never trailed in the game, right? It was 7-0, or was it 7? I can't remember the very beginning of the game, but yeah, they were in control for the entire second half, pretty much, I would say.
No, they didn't trail.
Yeah, they went up 7-0, and then
they went up 7-0. Yeah,
the defense only had one. You know, they gave up a 99-yard drive right before halftime, 99-yard touchdown drive right before halftime.
Well, that's
but other than that, the defense was really good, and you know, Georgia Tech was playing with a backup quarterback. But
it's just concerning, like going. I mean, I don't want to segue. All right, into Clemson. It's just, you know, it just seems like the Miami defense, like their rushing defense, just people get big chunks of yards on them.
Yeah.
That's all. And, you know, I can't, I, this week's going to be very tough, mm-hmm. like completely tough. So I'm glad they have another game after this.
As I said, Ja'Kari Brown, obviously the headliner of this group of underclassmen from the last weekend, specifically the true freshmen, but Miami started three true freshmen on Saturday. Inez Cooper started once again. He's kind of locked down that right guard spot with Justice Oluwaseunhert. Been probably the most pleasant surprise of the season for Miami. That was, you know, not a particularly highly ranked recruit, huge, huge body. I think we talked about him a couple of weeks ago on here.
We did.
And we've both written about him. And Wesley Bissaint makes his first career start at linebacker. And I would guess he's going to start these last two games there too.
They love him.
He is. Three true freshmen all start. Plus, as I mentioned, Jaleel Skinner catches his first career touchdown. And then again, just like a lot of other underclassmen out there too, right? Like,
yeah, you got a redshirt freshman, Lawrence Seymour.
Lawrence Seymour started left guard, a redshirt freshman.
Ferno Lineman,
very good. And then I mentioned obviously Kinchins, James Williams, Leonard Taylor, all sophomores. Colby Young, a sophomore.
Young had probably a touchdown. A couple others.
Daryl Jackson is a sophomore. Like the underclassmen are. And I hesitate to get too excited about it because it feels like we get to this point every year where we're like, these young guys, they look like the future. And then, you know, development is never linear, right? Some guys come in really polished and just can't get that much better. But this is an exciting group of freshmen and sophomores. Not just guys Mario Cristobal recruited necessarily, although some of them are. We know that 2021 recruiting class, that the last Manny Diaz class was really good too, headlined by Leonard Taylor. And
yeah, Leonard's just a sophomore
and
now.
James Williams.
And I think that Cam Kinchins now, obviously he has the country's attention, right? So, you know, the more people they have over him, I mean, that frees up James a little bit, right?
Right.
So, I think they're in good shape, except for maybe this Saturday.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough this weekend. Wesley Bissaint, as I mentioned, first career start. I think that was the other people were excited about that coming out.
Yes.
What have been your? I mean, he's been obviously. It's not like he came from nowhere and is now all of a sudden starting. He's been, his snap count has increased. Like, I think there was one week he got hurt in the middle of the game, but otherwise it's been like climbing steadily since like week two or week three. What have you liked most about him? And I guess maybe specifically,
smart,
what do you think aggressive. It means that he gets a start here?
I mean, it means that the linebackers are better. He's smart.
Yeah.
He's aggressive. He's he's like a defensive Ja'Kari. You know, he has a lot of energy and you know, very, very, very strong. And I just, they really, really like him. And they said they didn't want to throw him into the fire too soon and for something to go wrong and him to get spooked a little. I don't think he's coming out again.
No.
If he stays healthy. So they need it. You know, linebacker has been, you know, over the last few years hasn't been the strongest position. So I think he's really good basically, and he's going to stay there. So
I think he checks all the boxes. One is he's physically impressive, and for a linebacker, like, he's not, you know, like Corey Flagg, really high IQ linebacker. There's a reason he's been playing since day one, but he's got physical limitations. Like,
not as big, right?
It's obvious. Wesley has a lot of that high IQ stuff, great instincts. They're coached very well at Miami Central, as you can see by all these guys who, you know, go in and are contributors early on in college. But he also he's got that like sideline to sideline range. I mean, going back to like his sophomore year, junior year in high school, like, he was always the best guy on the field for Miami Central, and they were winning state championships, and they had five-star linebackers, and they had other seniors who were playing at Power Five schools and stuff like that. And he just popped out because he was involved in like every play. And that's the same thing here. He's always around the ball. Like that's, you know, it's pretty simple. If you hear a linebacker's name called a lot, it's probably a good thing. And that's kind of where we're at with Wesley Bissainthe, where he is piling up tackles. He's getting in, you know, blowing up plays. I kind of wrote about them together on Monday. He and Cam Kitchens are very similar to me, where, you know, Cam is a little bit, maybe like not like physically the most impressive. You know, you look at him, he stands next to James Williams, right? So it's a lot smaller. He doesn't have ideal speed,
but he's cerebral,
but he's very cerebral. You see the instincts. Yeah. I mean, he had three picks. He's flying all over the field.
He knows.
Plays fast. Kevin Steele, I think, said that he plays faster than he probably like would run in a 40 time. And he's Wesley Bissainthe is the same way. He's a little bit more the prototype of, you know, he's a long linebacker. I think has a chance to add a lot of weight. Like he'll be really big. You know, he's young, so he's kind of lanky. He looks lanky now, but he'll fill out. But he's got the same high IQ cerebral instincts that Mario Cristobal said, basically, like those are the kind of guys we want to recruit, or guys like those two.
And you know what I like also? They're both local.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
and they're like local, like they're, you know, they're Miami Central, Miami Northwestern. Like if there's two schools you want to get kids from, like
305.
Yeah. 305. Inner city, like, you know, like
I well,
really represent, you know, for their hometown.
You know what? You know, back a million years ago, Ed Reed was the most cerebral safety I've ever seen in my life. I mean, so smart. And Cam does. I mean, Mario said he's in there studying all the time.
He called his film sessions legendary. Because he's the one guy who sometimes might be in the building longer than Mario.
Exactly. And he knows. I mean, he'll even with Clemson, he's going to know exactly where they go to and, you know, what tendencies they have. And that's the way Ed was too. So smart before the play happened, he would know.
Yeah, when Mario said that about the legendary film sessions, I thought the first thing that popped into my mind was the Pitt game last year, actually. Remember Pitt tried to run like the Philly special where they tried to throw a pass to Kenny Pickett. They didn't even attempt the pass because Cam read it.
He was all over him.
He was the one, like the whole idea on that play is they forgot to cover the quarterback and you throw it to him.
Right.
And Cam stuck with Pickett the whole play, and
that was great.
They stuffed Pitt on the goal line like that.
God, that was
his like third start or something as a Hurricane. Like he's had it since day one. And I think, you know, he is, you know, the safeties are in some ways a dime a dozen down in South Florida, right? Like there's great safeties every year. You know, he wasn't even the biggest safety recruit in his class, right? James Williams was the guy everyone was excited about. The thing that's, I think, so important about Wesley is he's got all that, and he plays linebacker, which is a position, as you mentioned, Miami has struggled to recruit a little bit because we just don't produce linebackers at the same level here in Miami as we do DBs and wide receivers and all that stuff.
I wonder why that is. Why is that?
Oh, we produce a lot of defensive ends. I think the big kids kind of tend to either... you know, if you're a little small, I mean, James Williams probably should have been a linebacker. Like you just look at the way he's built, but he plays safety. So bigger kid, you know, if you're a certain size, you play wide receiver and DB. And if you're, bigger, then I think you have played defensive end because we do,
you know,
Nigel Kelly's another freshman we haven't mentioned, but he's a low, you know, from Dillard High in Fort Lauderdale. Another one of those impressive freshmen who's got, I think, 4 sacks now this season.
Really impressive. Really impressive. I liked him a lot, talking to him for the first time. And I think, by the way, Cam is a little quieter than James Williams.
Yeah.
So James Williams is more out there. You know, he's more talkative.
He's got that old school Kane thing, right? Where he's like talking trash a little bit.
Yeah, but big old smile all the time. I mean, Cam does too, but he's a little more serious And like we said, Cerebro, you know, he's a little, just a little quieter.
Yeah.
He does. So naturally it's easy to act, you know, to kind of get drawn to James Williams.
Yeah. And for, and until this year, he's been the highlight machine, right?
Right.
Compared to Cam. I mean, he still is, but now, Cam, you know, six picks, leads the country, all that kind of stuff. Like, they complement each other very well.
There's eight people, I think, behind him. I looked up the, in the record, in the, you know.
At five, you're saying? He's got six.
Yeah, I think
now.
Eight people have five, so God knows what will happen this weekend.
Yeah, it's, you know, and interceptions are, you know, a little bit of luck. Although none of those felt like luck. It felt like every one of those he was, you know, I think one was overthrow, but, you know, he's reading those plays really well. So
he is, but sometimes also I just have to say with interceptions, because I saw when I covered the 2001 title team, was it Mike Rumpf? I mean, he hardly had any interceptions his last season or whatever, yeah, because everybody was throwing away from him.
Right, exactly. Safeties can get around that a little bit more because Cam can fly into a play late. Like, I mean, the first interception was like they targeted Tyrique Stevenson and Cam flew in and blew up the play and got the ball himself. And so, but yeah, like you're saying, he could have six and he could have no more the rest of the season. Like that wouldn't be surprising. But either way, it's been a very, very impressive run. And he's going to be I think he has to be an All-American contender at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Maybe UM will finally get a first team all ACC or somehow that never seems to happen, does it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Jalen Phillips probably was, but maybe not even. I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't want to sound like sour grapes, but it does seem that way.
Last two, we talked a little bit about Inez Cooper, but we should shout him out again. Another freshman who is starting already. And, you know, we should say he is a guy that Mario Cristobal went and got. Miami was, I don't think it even offered him until Cristobal got there. Cristobal had recruited him a little bit at Oregon. Originally thought maybe he was going to be a defensive tackle because he was 400 pounds at one point his senior year or his junior year of high school.
Right.
Now down to what he said, like 350-ish, basically 355. So much better shape. And, you know, he's a freshman. He's had his ups and downs, but I mean, physically, like really, really, like you don't see a whole lot of linemen like that. And the fact that it's similar to what actually happened with Zion Nelson, right? Where Zion was not the biggest recruit. He was the same kind of thing, a really late addition to Miami's recruiting class, but just physically really impressive. And
Zion was skinny.
He was skinny, very different reasons skinny. For physical.
Yeah,
he was skinny and had to add weight. Inez Cooper was big and had to lose weight. And it's just a reminder that it's really, really hard to evaluate offensive linemen.
It really is. I wonder what happens with Zion now.
Yeah. I mean, he and Tyler, I mean, we'll do that, I guess, probably once the season
ends. He's going to have to come back, right? This is his fourth year.
He does have eligibility still.
He's got to come back. He didn't play at all. Yeah.
He and Tyler are both in a tough spot, right? Where I think they both would have, I think, been, or maybe not first round picks, but second day, maybe early third day at the latest. And now it's really hard to know.
I do, but it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. Although I can't believe Zion. I wonder how Mario deals with all this stuff.
Yeah. We'll wrap up with a little Clemson and bowl talk in just a second here, but
okay.
First portal entrant of the season happened on, is that Tuesday? Yeah. Tuesday night. Gilbert Frierson, who was, you know, kind of a long-term fixture here, a starting striker for a couple of years. Just, I don't want to say fell out of favor or didn't necessarily maybe fit this defense, but did not play a whole lot this year. And
it might have been either of those, David. Yeah. I was looking carefully at his stats. I don't have them in front of me, but he was pretty good. He had some pretty good stats the first couple of years second year or whatever. And third year, actually, he was fairly consistent. And then boom.
Yeah. So, and even last year, he didn't play as much either when Amari Carter moved to striker.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, we both love Gilbert Frierson. I was very happy to see Miami fans seem to be like, you know, people can be on social media where it's like, good riddance, get out of here. But everyone was like excited to see Gilbert Frierson's next step. But we should say that this is going to be the first of a whole bunch of transfers coming here. And that's going to be the tough thing for Mario to navigate over these next few months. You know, some of them will be guys who didn't play that much, but other guys will be, you know, like maybe some of them might be guys Mario kind of tells to get out of here a little bit. But some of them could be good players. And
it says, listen, you could stay here. I'm never going to kick anybody out, but.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You be honest, right? He always says you got to be honest.
It's all truth. All right. Yeah. And the truth is there are people that are, have shown their whatever, and those guys are going to be getting their chances more.
Right. So, he's going to have a lot to juggle. That starts with December 5th, right? December 5th is the first day that I think the transfer is going to enter earlier. Frierson is technically in the portal already because he has graduated, but December 5th is when most people can go in.
Well, he said December 5th is when he's entering.
Yeah, and then he mentioned the other day, he put out like another statement where he's like, actually, I'm a graduate, so I'm in there now. I don't think anyone really knows the rules.
I read that it's a day after the conference title games, and they're Saturday, December 3rd, you know? So I don't know.
No, so maybe it's the 4th. But it's that weekend. That week will be crazy.
Yes, it will. It'll be really crazy, actually. Really, like every other minute, we're going to see it's some kind of tweet.
Okay, let's finish things out by really quickly previewing Clemson and then a little bit of bowl talk before we get out of here. Clemson, Miami, a 19-point underdog. Is that still the line? I haven't looked at it in a couple days.
19.5 points. 19.5 points.
You know, they're underdogs. It's going to be really hard for them to win. It's not the best Clemson team in the world compared to some of these Clemson teams we've seen. They obviously kind of got killed by Notre Dame a few weeks ago. But still got a very good defense. You know, they're going to see a freshman quarterback and think fresh meat, basically. It's going to be tough, but at the same time in this Miami season where there's been so little to celebrate, it is the last chance for like a huge signature moment for this team. And
wow, that would, I'm not expecting it, but
imagine if they win, how different the mood would be than it was a couple weeks ago.
I mean, Clemson's won 39 straight home games. 39, not one.
Is their last loss to Syracuse?
Actually, I don't know. I didn't check that.
Actually, no, that Syracuse loss is in the Carrier Dome.
I have to tell you, there's not one player on their roster now, not one who's lost the game at home. And they're fighting for the playoffs. I mean, they're not dead. I've looked at percentages and I don't know, all different. They're number 9, but, and in the college football, you know, playoff ranking, and also they're ranked 9th in the AP, but they've lost one game. They've got to win, you know, they've got to win this game, and then they play South Carolina, and then they already have a spot in the ACC title game. Mm-hmm. Against North Carolina, which is a good team, right?
They're up to 11, I think, now.
Sure, but I know that if Clemson, they know if they can win these three games, they do have a shot. It just depends what other teams do. So they're at home. It's unbelievable. I've been there, I think, twice, and it's incredible. The Memorial Stadium, it's really incredible, the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. I don't even think I put Death Valley in my advance. I got to add that. It's called Death Valley. I got to add that. Anyway.
The real Death Valley, as Clemson fans will tell you.
The real Death Valley. Yeah. Well, it's going to be tough, David. They've got a really good quarterback. They've got Will Shipley, a really good running back. And they got the fans, and it's senior day for them. It's not Thanksgiving yet. I think they'll have fans there. Sometimes Thanksgiving week, it's tough.
Right. You know, Clemson gets people though, no matter what.
They do, but like Miami.
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving, I don't know.
Yeah. I think the biggest concern for Miami, this defense has been, I honestly have no idea how to assess what Miami's defense has been this year. They've been, sometimes they've looked incredible, and then they've had like three. I won't put too much of the blame on them for the Duke game, because that was like, I think Duke's starting field position was average starting field position was in Miami territory in that game. But I mean, the Florida State game was abysmal. The Middle Tennessee game was awful. You know, those, but then at pretty much every other week, they've been somewhere varying between very good. You know, they didn't allow a touchdown to Virginia, a bad Virginia team.
True. They've had some great, like, they, recent good,
you know, against bad teams, though, mostly, right? Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Virginia were all three fantastic defensive performances. If they get that kind of defensive performance this weekend, it'll be competitive. But when they played good, even Texas A&M, which is another bad team, I guess, they're really good defensively. But if they get their bad defense, if they get a, I mean, we know they have a 45-point egg in them because we've seen it three times. And if that happens, Miami has no chance of keeping up, obviously. But it comes down to, I think, if the defense can keep this game low scoring, competitive, and that's for them, it's mostly been about not giving up huge plays. When they've been at their worst, it's when they give up. Obviously, Middle Tennessee was like, I've never seen anything like that. But even Florida State was just like 20, 30 yards at a time sometimes.
They do give up big plays.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe just recently, but when the other team gets the ball, like at Georgia Tech, I wasn't convinced of anything. I was not, until they scored a couple more touchdowns.
Yeah, we should say Georgia Tech, they actually moved it decently enough. They just threw four interceptions. Like all four of Miami's three of Miami's four interceptions were inside the 20-yard line. So, you know, we've seen a good defensive performance in them. We've also seen really, really bad defensive performances in them. And which Miami defense shows up on Saturday will determine whether we're all done writing by halftime or whether this game is actually competitive and interesting. Bowls, I don't want to get into specifics about where they might go, but Miami's got two shots left to get one, close out the season with Pitt. How important to you is it that they get a bowl game?
I think it's important.
I think especially when we spent so much of this episode talking about freshmen, right?
Yeah, I mean, they really want it. I don't care. And who, Jakari was the one that actually told us. Everybody else is like, we're taking one game at a time. And, you know, it's the Mario Cristobal, just where your feet are and all that stuff. But they want to, Jakari said, that's our goal. Okay, yeah. He came out and said it. That's our goal. So they want a bowl game. And I think it's important because they're all kind of cheesy. You know, I'm not talking about the cheesy bowl. They're all kind of, you know, I don't know, not major.
They're not going to play a good team probably in the bowl game either.
If you're in the college football playoff. And then there are other bowls that have good teams in it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Cheez-It Bowl. Miami played Oklahoma State in that a couple of years ago. And it was a top 25 matchup. Like you can still get good ones, but
yeah, you
Miami's not going to get one of those. We should say
no, but I think I guess what I'm saying is the players do get excited. I mean, they get excited. It's fun for them. I know there's some like pretty small town kind of places you go to, but I think they're fun. And although Miami never seems to win them, you know, so that's a problem.
Been since Mark Richt's first year was the last time they won a bowl game.
Yeah. It's a big problem because it ends the season. Really, it's kind of depressing.
And they've had some really, really bad bowl losses. Pinstripe Bowl, Independence Bowl. Like those are two of the worst losses they've had in a long time, but yeah. You know, every extra practice you get is great. And obviously, it's fun watching Jakari Brown right now. If he keeps playing like this, I want to get an extra game to watch Jakari Brown. I felt the same way when they canceled Miami's bowl game last year for COVID. I was like, oh man, I don't get to watch Tyler Van Dyke play.
Yeah. The Sun Bowl. You don't get to go to El Paso and have that great Mexican food.
It is good. Miami looks like maybe Gasparilla would be in the cards, which would be in Tampa, which would be great. Easy trip before Christmas. Fenway Bowl, I've seen around. Another game before Christmas. So it'll be early probably if Miami gets into one, unless they win two down the stretch here. But
right.
I'm rooting for one, but I'm rooting for an early one to get our Christmas vacation started early.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, I know we got to end this, but if they should upset Clemson, you know, that'll, well, then of course they go back home, which they don't do well at home. And it's on national TV. That'll be our next podcast. National TV night game at home. Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, they got a chance to wear the black jerseys, I guess. Finally.
Yeah, possibly.
We'll all right. I think we can finish things up there. You can follow Susan on Twitter at @SMillerDegnan. She got all your coverage this week going into Clemson. You can follow me on Twitter at @DBWilson2. I've also obviously got some coverage going into Clemson. So yeah, nothing that exciting though in the world.
Happy Thanksgiving, right?
All yeah, I guess, yeah, our next episode will come out. I don't know when we'll drop it next week. We'll figure it out. But anyway, happy Thanksgiving if we don't talk to you guys before then. Thanks as always for listening. And we will talk to you guys sometime next week. Not sure when, but we will talk to you sometime next week.